Kirk and Kate Mornings, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. here on Moody Radio Florida.
Here's today's moment from the show.
Well, September is National Suicide Prevention Month, and suicide is the nation's 10th leading cause of death. And in 2020 alone, nearly 45,000 people in the U.S. died by suicide, with thousands more attempting to take their own lives. Countless others experienced suicidal, thoughts due to all kinds of things like depression and anxiety and addiction. And they battle these things, and the battle is pretty intense. And the sad truth is, someone you know may be suffering right now, today, at this very moment. Mm-hmm. Our good friend Dr. Greg Jantz is back to talk about what we can do, what we can say, how we can spot some of these warning signs and all of this. And it's been forever since we've had him with us, and we have missed him. Hi, Greg. Welcome back. How you doing?
Good to be with you today. Even though it's a very tough topic.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. It's not easy, but you know, because you know us, we do not shy away from the tough things that we face in life, and it really dishonors God when we try to sweep stuff under the rug. We need to come at this from a Christ-centered perspective, biblical perspective, but deal with this. Greg's book is So Much to Live For, How to Provide Help and Hope to Someone Considering Suicide. He's written many other really great books regarding depression, etc. So I guess maybe one of the most obvious things to ask you, Greg, right out of the gate, what should we be looking for in regard to signs that someone we may know is really considering suicide as an option?
Well, and that's always really tough because it's such an uncomfortable topic to talk about. But one of the things we need to realize is that suicide rates are growing, and honestly, they're at record numbers. We're particularly concerned about our 12 to 17-year-olds because right now it's the second leading cause of death.
Well,
now, that's hard. That's weird and even hard to even say. 12 to 17,
Yeah. You're
telling me, is the second leading cause of death. And we also know that men 50, about 50 and above, are also an area of concern. Hmm. So we do need to talk about it and how to talk about it.
Why 12 to 17? Why do you think they're being affected right now?
Well, last year was the highest academic failure we've ever seen. Virtual learning didn't work for those that were faced with that. We know that average exposure to pornography on the internet is about age 9. We're seeing early addiction start in that age range. And also, you know, even from a spiritual sense, these kids feel hopeless about their future. And we know the enemy comes to kill and destroy. And look at it's going after our youth. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Boy, you know, and of course the pandemic, as you alluded to in 2020, we talked about it a lot during last year. We were discussing the fact of, and people are still dealing with this. It's not like you turn a corner immediately, but the effects of the pandemic were many, were legion, really.
Yeah, even that people aren't going back to work.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And so how do we talk about it? And you asked a great question. Well, we need to be willing to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And it certainly, one of the myths around suicide is, well, if I say anything, I might give them ideas.
Yes.
The opposite is true. What we really need to do is, hey, I really love and care about you, and I'm noticing it's a really tough time, and be in conversation with them. And you may sense some real desperation. It's okay to say, have you ever thought about hurting yourself or killing yourself? And just acknowledging, that's a hard question. So bring it up. You may have just opened up a whole window of them being able to share. Because it's for a person that's really on the edge of despair, they're becoming irrational in their thinking. They feel like God doesn't love them, other people don't love them, and there's no hope for their future. So we need to talk about it.
Mm.
we need to take them seriously. If they are saying things, I realize there are some people that might just say things, but these cries for help, you know, maybe you could become cynical, you know, if you have somebody who says, well, I'm thinking about taking my life, and it's like the boy who cried wolf, that type of thing. All right, well, you're talking about this again. No, no, no. When somebody brings something like that up, you need to take it seriously. And we're going to be talking more about some of these signs that maybe somebody we know, you know, just, you know, it could be our kids, our grandkids, you know, are exhibiting some signs that maybe they are considering suicide as a viable option. So I think this is really important. Maybe you are in that situation today, and by God's divine design, you know, you're thinking that, you know, I've really entertained these suicidal thoughts. I really need to reach out to somebody. It's no accident that you're joining us here this morning. God does love you, and he's reaching out to you, I bet, this morning, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Pierre Chastang here. For nearly 20 years, it's been my honor to serve at Moody Radio in Florida, first as morning show host and then as station manager. September 30th, I'll be leaving my position to go from bivocational pastor to full-time pastor at the Bridge Worship Community in Valrico. So for one final time, I want to thank you so much for how you've always been so faithful in supporting Moody Radio Florida. Your partnership is vital as we present programming that helps listeners take the next step in their walk with Jesus. Also, I couldn't be happier to let you know that Andrew Luthold will be station manager beginning October 1st. You hear Andrew Sundays from 3 to 6 p.m. and occasionally filling in on the morning show. Andrew's also been serving as operations director since 2012. So again, thanks for supporting the station prayerfully and financially. And finally, please know it's been my extreme pleasure to serve the Lord and you with such an incredible team here at Moody Radio in Florida.
Kurt and Kate with you on Moody Radio. Good morning. Welcome to a Thursday. Dr. Greg Jantz is with us. He's written a number of best-selling books, and he is a good friend of ours. He's the founder of The Center, A Place of Hope. Placeofhope.com in Washington State. We love to get his take on things, you know, that are kind of tough to talk about. Like, for instance, he's an expert on dealing with depression and these types of things. And the book in the spotlight here this time around is So Much to Live For: How to Provide Help and Hope to Someone Considering Suicide. We're going to go to the phones here. Let's go to Jan in Bradenton. Hi, Jan. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Great. Thanks for taking my call. We have a married son that's 34 years old, and he's been dealing with depression for quite a few years, and the pandemic last year just sealed what we had figured that was going on with him. His wife said last weekend he's crying a lot, and he's been a believer as a child, but he has totally turned against Christianity. He doesn't want anything to do with Christianity, and if we bring it up as parents, you know, it just makes hard feelings. So I'm not sure where to go, what to do as a parent. I need some help.
Okay, and I'm so glad you called today. One of the things, we need to pray for his, obviously for his protection, and you mentioned about ongoing depression. And we know if we get depression gets worse and anxiety is mixed in there, that, you know, your son, we begin to think irrationally and we feel hopeless. And so the next question really is he receiving any kind of help right now?
No, he's not. He says he doesn't need help. He can deal with it on his own.
And that's usually a position a lot of times we find guys in at that point. But one of the things is, really, you know what? He does need help. So it's almost like an intervention of sorts, whereas we need to find at least two resources for him and begin to pave the way. And usually he may not take it from a family member. So is there another person in his life that he really trusts and listens to? Is there anybody who he's talking to that has some credibility for him?
No, he just is a loner, and he doesn't talk to anybody. He won't come with friends or anybody. He's just a loner. Yeah. He's got a wife.
Okay.
Got a terrific wife, and she's trying to reach out to him, but she's finding resistance.
Yes, and maybe what happens is we need to get the resources to her, and a lot of times what we do is we say, well, we're going to go together, and really they're going in to get assistance together. Here's what we want to make sure. I mean, it's a place to start. We want to make sure that that he's not isolating more. The more he isolates, we want to make sure there's no, chemical influence or drinking, where it just continues a downward spiral. And so we need to pray that his wife will be strong and have that influence. But we need to get help, and she needs to be the instrument to kind of do this together.
Hey, Greg, why don't we pause here? Hey, Jan, would it be okay if we prayed for him right now? Just kind of stopped everything?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Greg, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Lord, you know this is a precious son and a husband, and he is an individual, Lord Jesus, that's hurting today, and we are concerned. And we ask that for wisdom, first of all, Lord, but I ask that you really provide protection and a willingness, Lord, maybe a willingness we haven't seen before, but a willingness that says, I am willing to get help, and we can get, Lord, we pray to the right help. Empower his wife, Lord, to really lead the charge here. And we pray for the right resources, the right person, the right situation. And again, Lord, we ask that this can be done here soon, and not only soon, that you will protect them and their marriage as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet, Jan. Thank you for calling. We're going to continue to pray for your son. One of the things, Greg, I wanted to highlight here is the symptoms, warning signs that someone may be serious about maybe taking their life. I know every situation is different, but there could be a pattern here where, I mean, you're the expert. You know these things. What are some warning signs that somebody could be very serious about this?
Well, we've kind of talked about one of those, and that's the isolation. That's the person that really begins to cut off from others. And by isolation, they grow deeper and deeper into their own world. That's a real warning sign, you know, and sometimes we see that with the youth that we've talked about and the kids, where they cut off from their peers and normal things they would be doing. That's one. The other would be we might be seeing, alcohol or drug use and escalate. The other signs, sometimes they're hard to read because a person who's made this decision will make things seem like they're normal.
Yeah.
And that's part of the challenge, because you go, when a person commits suicide and maybe you knew them, you go, why didn't I know what was going on? And we tend to maybe blame ourselves. I should have seen this. But sometimes they'll be very secretive and things will appear to be normal. So I wanted to mention that. Some people will begin to even give away things. They've made a decision. This is what I'm doing. And you start to see them give away things and kind of wrapping up their life. And that's kind of a frightening thing to see.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I knew a mom who had a teenage son, and she was doing his laundry, and she was throwing a jacket into the washer, and she was checking the pockets for stuff. And she pulled out a slip of paper, and it basically talked about, kind of like a suicide note type thing. I want everybody to know this, 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 and this, and that I love my parents and et cetera. Something happens to me. And she was just, obviously undone by all of that. And if you were to see something like that, it seems pretty obvious that how seriously should you take this?
I always tend to really err on the far safety side and take everything really serious.
Yeah.
Because we don't know, And we don't ever want to be in that place of regret,
yeah.
that place of, I should have listened. So I always err on the side of safety. And when somebody's, some people will talk about, I don't think I can keep living, or they begin to give us hints. I'm so tired of all of this. I don't know if I can go on. So they're talking about it. Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg about what's going on inside their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the last thing we want to do is to blow that off and not take it seriously. Like I said, highlight that and put a star by it. Dr. Greg Jantz is with us. Name of the book in the spotlight, So Much to Live For, How to Provide Help and Hope to Someone Who is Considering Suicide. Mm. Let's go out to our friend Lewis in Lakeland. Hi, Lewis. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, fellow whosoevers. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Good.
We're doing great. It's so nice to hear from you. You have a question for Greg?
As a matter of fact, I do. Yeah, a real quick backstory. My wife has stage 1 Alzheimer's, and she's 71, and she is going through some physical deterioration as well as a little bit of the mental that's going along with it. There are times when she just does seem like she wants to give up, does want to give in. She'll make comments like, well, go ahead and feed me poison if you want, when I ask her what she wants for supper, because she's just suffering so much. And at times it seems like I'm unequally yoked if I didn't understand the Bible, but I do. But she is saved. And I'm just wondering how I can actually try to be a better servant to her in that capacity, and maybe help her somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What a tough situation that you're in. I think one of the first things that came to my mind is Alzheimer's and just the what happens to the mind. We always need to remember it distorts reality.
Yes.
And so not really living in reality. It's a distortion of reality. And then we need to remind ourselves, it's really not the person that I know or knew. And it's kind of like what happens is that distortion of reality can cause us to really begin to wonder, what do I do? And for you, and I just want to acknowledge you, it sounds like you have been faithful. You have been loving. You're consistently there for her. And I really do believe that's what you're called to do. And her life is in God's hands. But her reality, at least right now on earth, is going to really be a struggle, and it's going to be distorted. So I want to make sure you have the support and the care for you, so you're not alone in this.
Well, unfortunately, I kind of sort of am. Don't get a chance to get out of the apartment very much, because I do have to help her walk around a little bit. I've got to be, help and answer the phone in case she gets confused and so forth. But I love her like I love everybody. There's nothing anybody can do about it, not even her. And it's at times it really forces me to reinforce one of my mottos: I live to serve and I serve to live. And if I'm not actually helping her or able to help her, I feel like I'm dying, my own self. So I do everything I can, online with some phone calls and things, but to actually, face to face, I haven't had that in a couple of years.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I still feel that there needs to be help and support for you, and there's also some very good resources and support groups, that there's those that can help even in the home, because you've got to get out. You got to physically and emotionally care for yourself. We can't leave you alone and isolated in this.
Yeah.
Because sometimes then we start to lose touch of reality and feel helpless.
Greg, before we let you go, could you pray for Lewis, and we'll all join together? Mm-hmm. Lewis, is that's okay if we pray for you this morning?
Yes, please. I'm grateful, very grateful.
Sure.
Well, we all stand in agreement today, and Lord God, that you're at work, and we thank you for Lewis. Thank you for his faithfulness, and we also, Lord, have a need that there would be those that could join him, and there would be the support. I don't know what it, who or what it is right now, but that he would not be standing alone, that you'd refresh him, that you would give him the perspective of Christ as he's caring for his wife. And Lord, you are the guardian of our minds, and we know that there is a disease and a struggle, and we also know, Lord, you are faithful, faithful. And so we just present this situation to you, and thank you for Lewis's faithful loving of his wife. And let's, Lord, just bring in the resources he needs in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Greg Jantz, our good friend, wow, how wonderful to have you back with us. So much to live for, how to provide help and hope to someone considering suicide. We've got this linked up to Curtin Cape Mornings on Facebook. Hey, JB, why don't we go ahead and come up with a keyword where we can actually, people can text in, we can send them out a link to the book itself. Hope. Let's do hope. Let's do something.
There you go.
Let's do hope.
Hope.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and do that. So JB's working on that, and so if you text the word hope, give us a couple of minutes here to set it up. We'll send you out a link to Greg's book. You can text the word hope to 888-777-6810. Hope to 888-777-6810. We'll have that lined up for you in a matter of minutes. Greg, thanks again for being with us. Blessings to you today.
So good to be with both of you. Thank you.